Chapter 4. Mark Gospel, Chapter 4. And verse 35. The same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. For the sake of those three little words in verse 36 that I've read the passage again, other little ships. The night before last, we were speaking on this passage, pointing out the fact that the disciples given instructions to get into the ship and to go to the other side, and in the midst of that voyage, a great storm broke upon them, and they thought they were going to perish. They cried out, Save us, we perish. Yet they had his promise they were going to the other side. In addition to that, they had himself. How could they think when they had his promise and his presence? And it is absolutely impossible for those who are saved, who know Christ, to perish because they have his promise of eternal life. And furthermore, they have himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he arose to the occasion, and in answer to the plea and prayer of those frightened disciples, he said, Peace, be still, and there was a great calm. They were quite upset and disturbed and frightened about the storm, but now that he had quieted the storm, they were still frightened, increasingly so. But this time, it was about the one who had quieted the sea. What manner of man is this? They got their eye off the element, on to the one who controls the element. They got their eye away from creation to the Creator. They now began to fear him more than they feared the element, and rightly so. Unfriend, it's a grand thing when we get our eyes off those movable, transitory things upon Christ himself. And it behooves every person to fear the Lord Jesus more than they fear the elements. Quite often, tornadoes strike down in our part of the country, and I presume out here too. And how men and women become frightened and seek a place of shelter in a time of tornadoes or if a hurricane sweeps through the land. But I want to say this, there's one to be feared more than the fearing of hurricanes. Because he can save you from that hurricane, or he can destroy you by it. And so it behooves us to fear him, the Lord Jesus, the master of the sea, the Lord of his own creation. But I want to speak mostly now on those three words, other little ships. You know, it's wonderful to see the Lord Jesus end our troubles as he did on this occasion. Why, it must have been a wonderful sight, a great thrill to see the Son of God rise up in all his dignity and say, Peace be still, and watch the waves subside and sob themselves to sleep. In a moment, he ironed them out. But you know, it would have been more pleasing to him had they not awakened him, had they only watched him sleep on the storm waves, for they were sick. But here is selfishness coming up. Lord, save us. We perish. Selfishness. They did not think of those other little ships that were being tossed about on that angry sea. All they thought about was themselves. Save us. We're the ones in jeopardy. We're in danger. We perish. That is an absolute contradiction to Christianity. In other words, Christianity is rooted in unselfishness. God gave His Son. Christ gave Himself. And Paul says we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Christ says, go ye into all the world. Leave the comforts of home. Leave those things of personal interest. Go, he says. Look on the fields. They're white, already to harvest. Look away from yourself. That's the lesson. All these exhortations are to direct the Christian away from himself to other persons and things. And yet, isn't it true? Personally speaking, I find it constantly in my own heart. My interests come first. Lord, save me. Undertake for me. Do thou for me. And we seem to forget others. Our little ship. I wonder this morning if we could think of others and the needs of others. You know, in visiting, and we do quite a bit of it down in the Southland, we visit people who are sick and listen to their story. One will say something like this, oh, I've lost one child and it's awful. I haven't been able to get over it. Sometimes I've said, yes, it's sad. But I can tell you of someone who lost 2 children, 3 children, 4 children, 5 children, 6 children. Another says, but I had one operation, it's awful. Yes, so does it. But I can tell you someone who had 21 operations. My own nephew. And then died. But I've had 1 week of pain. That's bad. But I can tell you some who've had years of pain. A lifetime of pain. Other little ships, they're all with others worse off than ourselves. Mrs. Gladstone, a few hours after the death of her husband, was found in a home, speaking words of comfort to another who had just lost her husband. She found another little ship. Queen Victoria, crushed when Prince Albert died, yet her first words of public sympathy, of tender sympathy, were to the wives and children of 200 men killed in the mine disaster of 1862. Queen Victoria found many other little ships being tossed about on life's rough sea. Elijah says, Lord, and you remember he was sailing waters of persecution. Lord, he says, I only am left. They seek my life. Don't you worry, Elijah, you're not the only one sailing these seas. There are 7,000 who haven't yet bowed the knee to Baal. And it's very solemn and searching to note that after Elijah thought only of himself, I only am left. I'm the only loyal one, the true one. God says, anoint Elijah. Anoint you for 7. I cannot use you anymore. You're too much concerned about self. Self. I only am. How often we forget these other little ships. Do we not learn by comparison? How often in visiting the hospital do you go from room to room and you see these various ones suffering? And it's tragic. It's heart-sickening. And I don't know what more one can do when they emerge from those institutions, those hospitals, with the sick and the groaning, the dying, and the heartaches of loved ones as they stand anxiously around the bedside. I feel every time I come out of a hospital like bowing my head and thanking God. All these others, sailing like trustees, other little ships. You go to asylum, you see those glassy eyes, those frightened glares looking at you from behind the bars. But for the grace of God, you might be in one of those cells. Other little ships. And remember, those other little ships didn't have Christ in them. They were evidently smaller craft than the ones the disciples were in. They had no promise that they were going to the other side. There they were being tossed around on those angry waves. No promise and no Christ. And yet all the disciples thought about was themselves. They lost, we perish. How often those we see suffering and in these various institutions know nothing of Christ. You go to a blind institution and there you see them being taught to work with their hands. But oh, tragedy of tragedies, they're blind spiritually. Other little ships. You go to the poorhouse, the same thing. Other little ships everywhere. Maybe someone in the next block to you, far worse off than you are, and yet all your prayers are about yourself, all your interests and your concerns are about yourself, and you've forgotten these other little ships. I think every one of us here this morning, seated in this bowl, enjoying a week's vacation, in this lovely valley, far removed from the scene of conflict, surely we can say the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. And yet let us not forget those we've left behind. Let us not forget those in this valley who know not the Lord Jesus. And because of our comfort, we forget the needs of others, other little ships. There are two things that would have pleased the Lord Jesus, I believe, very much on this occasion. That is, had the disciples watched them sleep. And as they arrived at the other side, they awaited until he awoke. And the Lord looked at them and said, "Brethren, my brethren, what kind of a voyage did you have?" "Oh, Master, it was an awful voyage. It was a terrible storm. You can see the water in the boat. We didn't think we'd make it." "Well, my brethren, were you not afraid?"
"Not a bit, Lord."
"You weren't afraid?"
"No.
Why weren't you afraid?"
"Well, Lord, didn't you tell us we were going to the other side?
And we had you here in the boat. Why should we be afraid?"
"Don't you think that would have pleased him?
Wouldn't that have delighted his heart to have seen their utter and utmost confidence in himself?"
"Yes, that would have pleased him."
"Another thing would have pleased him. That is, if they had awakened him as they did. But instead of saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish,' had they awakened him and said, 'Lord, look at these other little ships. They're about to go down. They're helpless. They're smaller boats than ours. They don't have you, Lord. They don't have your promise. Lord, we awakened you that you might do something and help us to do something for these other little ships.'
I think that too would have pleased him."
"Oh, instead of saying, 'Lord, save us, take on me, do thou for me, Lord,' oh, Lord, we'd like to stir you up, if that is necessary. We would like, as it were, to awaken you, Lord, that you might do something for others. Those who know not Christ, use us to reach them. For as we look out upon life's stormy sea, we find men and women everywhere being tossed around and about upon the circumstances, the sad tragedies of life. They have no hope of heaven. They have no assurance of salvation. They're without Christ. They know not the way to be saved. And yet,
you don't seem to think about these other little ship. I think that would have pleased our Lord had the disciples awakened him on behalf of others. And so the true thing would have pleased him to have watched them sleep through the storm. That would have meant complete trust in him instead of unbelief. And then to have awakened him on behalf of others. Exercise for others instead of exercise for self or selfishness. And so may we think of these other little ships. Think about others. Learn lessons by comparison. My mother passed away 2 years ago. She was a widow for about 10 years before she went home to be with the Lord. I used to travel to Canada every Christmas to spend Christmas with her. My mother was a lovely Christian. She had read the Bible through some 30 times before she became blind. Naturally, she was lonely. She was now 80 years of age. And I remember, and it was the only time I can remember in my life, that I saw my mother break down and cry and complain with loneliness. She said, "Oh, my boy, you don't know what it is. You're away down south. But here I am day after day, the same four walls. I'm all alone. It's awfully lonely." She began complaining about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. She wasn't getting the attention she thought she could have to get, thought she should get. As it happens that on that trip north, I had just heard about an old couple, past 70, who were in the concentration camp in Japan during the last war. And I said, "Mother, I want to tell you something." And I told her about this elderly couple, missionary, in the concentration camp. And I said, "There wasn't a green blade of grass in that tent. They'd eaten it like oxen, like cattle. They had disease of various kinds, physical discomforts, and no sound, no sanity of any kind, or nothing that would minister to their comfort." One of the boys of this old couple was on a ship going to Formosa, and they heard that the ship had been torpedoed by the Japanese, or been torpedoed by the United States, I think it was, and thus they thought their boy was lost. They grieved over that, this old couple. Here they were, old, sick, nothing to eat, and the sorrow of their son going down. During the night, rats used to run over their bodies. And oh, if anyone could only catch a rat, they had a luxury to sink their teeth into a rat. The old gentleman made some kind of a contraption he thought would serve as a rat trap. If only he could catch a rat. It happened to be the night before Christmas. The next morning, he awakened, and to his delight, he awakened his wife. He said, "We've got a rat." The trap was smashed shut. Though he was so happy, a rat for Christmas. He found the stick. The old gentleman, the only way he knew how to get the rat was to lift the trap and club it as it ran up. And as he lifted the trap, he was too weak. He missed. And the two of them sat and sobbed like children who had missed their Christmas dinner. I told that to my mother. I said, "Mother, you don't have anything like that, do you? You're going to have a good Christmas dinner. You're not in a concentration camp. You're in a lovely home. The home is well heated. You have 3 meals a day. a comfortable bed to sleep on at night. Is there any comparison? She dried her eyes and said, my son, I'm sorry. God is so good to us, isn't he? We seem to forget what others are passing through. And I don't know any better way for you to get yourself out of your dungeons, as we say, than to think upon others. A fellow was saved in meetings we had in Winston-Salem by the name of Cromer. Herman Cromer was a wonderful trophy of grace. But he had a serious operation, and the operation affected his nerves. And he just about beat a path from his house to where I was staying. And every morning he'd come in, and we'd have to listen to the same thing for about an hour. All he talked about was himself. One day I got him just as he stepped inside the door. I said, Herman, listen. I want you to get down the street as fast as you can and nail the first man you see and grab him by the lapel of his coat. Ask him if he's saved and if he isn't, tell him how you got saved. Now try that. And out he went. And he got a real thrill out of it. He forgot Herman Cromer for a little while. And he tried it more than once. And friend, if you want to be happy as a Christian, when you feel yourself down to them, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get out and speak to someone about Christ. Visit someone who's worse off than you and think of these other little ships, the need of us. You remember when that great fortress in Indochina fell, the NBN 2, fell to the Chinese a couple of 3 years ago? I remember the newscaster interviewing that noble nurse, that French nurse. She was the only woman in the fortress. And he interviewed her over the radio, and I heard the interview. And he said to her, I understand that you didn't have anything to eat hardly for 4 days, that you didn't sleep a wink for 4 days or 4 nights, and that the shot and the shell was falling all around you and the enemy was coming in. Weren't you afraid? She said, no. Well, weren't you tired? Well, I suppose I was. You mean to say that you weren't afraid, you weren't tired, and you weren't conscious of your own desperate plight, and you'd been working for 4 days and 4 nights, and the communists were closing in? Well, she said, to tell you the truth, they were bringing in our French boys, wounded, dying. And there were so many around there that I was the only nurse. She says, to be honest, I didn't have any time to think about myself. She said, I didn't know I'd been 4 days without sleep. She said, I was so busy waiting upon our wounded and dying soldier boys. I didn't think of myself. Isn't that the remedy? All the need that's around us. There's so much that could get us away from ourselves, these other little ships. And although there have been various approaches to a life of victory in Christ, a life of abiding in Christ, a life of the enjoyment of the life in Christ, there are various approaches to that subject, and some we've had before us. But I try and give another formula this morning, and that's this. If the Christian would do what the disciples should have done on this occasion, just rested in the Lord, not awaken him, let him sleep. If he can sleep during the storm, so can I. For it's just as impossible for me to sleep as it is for him, because I'm linked up with him. I'm a member of this body. Complete trust in Christ. That's the one thing. Get that set. And then the second thing is to think of the need of others. And if you as a Christian will exercise complete trust in the Lord
and be exercised about the need of others. Be they unsaved who need Christ, or Christians who need counsel and comfort.
If you turn your eyes upon others, and completely trust in the Lord, I think you'll have another formula for a happy Christian life. Think about these other little things.